Right, there's another question that came through. Joseph, are you reading that one?
For both of us, so please start. I'll read it.
I was going to ask you to start.
Oh, okay, great. All right, I'll read it and then we'll have it. Okay, how best for feminine to express her needs and communicate with a man, not telling him what to do, but also making her sure her needs are communicated and met. Oh my gosh, so good. All right. So I'll start. We've all heard being needy is unattractive, yes? If you've heard that, yep. So this is a really important distinction that you probably haven't heard around that. Needs are not unattractive. Having needs is not unattractive. Having needs is part of being human. We have needs for oxygen, water, movement, rest, nutrition, shelter, connection, touch, love, expression, growth, all the things I shared with you that are so core to human beings. We have needs for all of those. So having needs is not unattractive. Being needy is unattractive. Being needy is when you have gone too long without having your needs met properly, such that you're desperate, and it's the desperation that's a challenge. Because, write this down, I recommend, desperate people do desperate things. So the reason needy is unattractive is because it's potentially an unsafe situation, because desperate people do desperate things. So nobody does anything desperate unless they're desperate, right? So people make higher quality choices when they're not desperate. So now you see this hopefully in a new context. So what you want to do for yourself and those that you care about is help yourself first have your needs met really well. And if you ever want to talk about that, please text me and we'll set up a time, because I'm an expert at actually creating what I call a needless life, so that your needs are actually automatically being cared for by how you live your life. The best analogy would be like, you think about going on vacation to somewhere and you have a beautiful garden. If you don't have a way that it gets watered while you're gone, you might come back and your garden's really in poor shape. But if you have an automatic sprinkler system or a friend who's providing water to your garden, you have a system for your garden to be cared for while you're on vacation. So there's a way to have the needs in your life automatically fed and met through who you're being and by certain arrangements that you arrange with other people, so that your needs are automatically met. So then you can show up in the world just to contribute, because you're no longer striving for survival. You're playing the I'm thriving and contributing now. If you don't actually design a system for getting your physical and emotional needs met automatically, then there's a part of you that is always in every situation. Can this person meet my need? Can this person meet my need? Can this person meet my need? It's like exhausting for you and for them, right? So I encourage you, send me a text. I wanna have a conversation around needs, because I have a sense you have some understanding there. In fact, yes, I have a whole process that's refined, it's elegant, and it works. So that's called the needless process. Okay, so how can you, I'm gonna come back now. How can the feminine express her needs to a man without telling him what to do? Totally. Okay, so here's the core of it. First, recognize that there's a difference between a request and a demand. That's a really important distinction, especially from the feminine to the masculine. A request from the feminine to the masculine is experienced as an opportunity to serve you and love you and succeed with you. If you've made a request to me, I get excited because I'm like, oh my gosh, this is something she wants. And if I'm willing, able to provide it, I get to be a hero. And it can be as simple as making you a cup of tea because you asked for it and I know you want it and I can do that. Now, super important here on the language. If you say, can you get me a cup of tea? Bummer. And the reason can you get me a cup of tea is a bummer is because you just asked, does he have the capacity to get you a cup of tea? Which is a major insult. But if you say, would you or will you, it's a request instead of a question about his capacity. So don't ask about capacity. Don't ask about availability. Make a request. If you try to go, is he going to be available? Is he not available? You're getting into his business. Make your request. And how you know it's a request and not a demand, and that's super important too, and that's part of what makes it attractive, he will test you. He will say no to some of your requests. That's the test. And you pass it when, in response to his no to your request, you still stay well and loving him, even though he declined your request. When you fall apart when your request is declined, he realizes that wasn't a request, that was actually a demand. And then you train him to have resistance to false requests because they're not requests, they're demands. So the core of how do you communicate in such a way that he's really going to enjoy it is make more requests than you need yeses to. Say, for example, you want three things on a particular day. Ask for seven. If you get five, you're thrilled. And he's thrilled because he got to have the experience of saying no twice and being free and recognizing he's in a request relationship dynamic. And everybody's happy. That's my answer.
Great answer. Yeah, and I'd love to respond to that also. Something that I found really helpful is letting my partner in on my experience. So letting my partner in on my emotional experience, on my felt experience, as the one who's generally more in touch with my body, I want my partner to know what it feels like to me to be a woman, what it feels like to me to want something from him. If it's a request, say it's something in our relationship, say it's about chores or something, you know, and if I share how it feels when the dishes pile up in the sink, how it feels to me when I walk in the door, I'm like, oh, I feel like the weight of the world is on my shoulders when I come in after work and this still isn't done, and sharing with him how I'm experiencing the reality that he might not even have a reference point for, that can help him understand the reason why it's a big deal for me, first of all. And with that, sharing what it's like to experience the world through feeling rather than logic, and helping my man understand how to love me better by kind of teaching him not how to think like me, but at least aware of how I'm perceiving things, so that, you know, if he wants to, he has the opportunity to meet me halfway. He has the opportunity to think, oh, how might this feel for her if I make this decision, instead of what's a logical decision to make? What do I want? How is this gonna feel for her? So I found that the more that I let my partner in, because if he's very logical, if he likes to have control over his mind, and I need some space to just let my emotions be watery and fluid, I want him to know my reality instead of trying to control my reality. So when I experience, maybe if a man's trying to control your reality, he might tell you that what you're feeling is wrong or illogical. You shouldn't feel that because I said this, so you shouldn't feel that. Like, okay, I'm feeling this. I understand that's what you said, and I need you to just acknowledge that this is what I'm feeling. When you can get to that level of clarity, it's not actually about what anyone did wrong. It's not about you did this and you're an asshole because I'm feeling this way and you made me feel that way. It's let's just show up in the moment and be aware of what the other person's experience is, because I love you, because I want to know you, I want to be closer to you, and I want this tension between our perspectives to melt away.